In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In order to understand a tradition, and in particular church traditions, you need to understand the context which it comes out of. Traditions aren't just born on their own. They don't just appear out of midair. They grow organically out of a setting, taking into consideration everything around it. So with church traditions, you need to look not just for the setting that it grew out of, but look at the scriptures that it comes from. Look at the setting of the world. Look at the mindset of the people. And if you take a tradition out of its setting, or if you change the setting, you often create confusion and misunderstanding. And a perfect example of that is the tradition of veiling images. This Sunday in Lent, this fifth Sunday, traditionally was known as Passion Sunday. And it was the beginning of a season called Passion Tide, which is the week ahead of us as we approach Holy Week. And it was traditionally in Western Catholicism that on Passion Sunday, the images of Christ, whether they be statues or the crucifix, that they would be veiled, shrouded in the church. So after you come back from the lessened rigor of the Rose Sunday, the fourth Sunday, after you come back from that brief vacation from Lent, you come back to a church that is even deeper into Lent than it was before you started. You come back into a church that visibly something is different, and you could wonder why. Why this day? Why veil Jesus and the images on this day and not the third Sunday or the second or not at all? Why is it that this day they decided that this would be the appropriate time to start covering up the images of Christ? And the answer, I think, part of the answer to that is in the traditional gospel assigned for today. Not the one you just heard, but the one before the modern lectionary was instituted. Traditionally, the gospel for the fifth Sunday in Lent comes from the eighth chapter of John. And it's a scene where Jesus, as he is wont to do, is getting into fights with people in the temple. And he's getting into an argument, and this happens to be the particular argument where Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And then he starts getting into a fight with people in the temple about Abraham. And they get so incensed, they get so angry at him, at what he is saying, that the gospel ends with this line. "They took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them and passing by." Jesus hid himself. That's what people are hearing from that gospel, that Jesus hid himself and has gone out of the temple. And so it seemed logical to them that the response to that liturgically would be to hide Jesus wherever he was in the church. And so the tradition of shrouding on the fifth Sunday is born. But the effect that shrouding has is that it sets our minds that we are in different ground, different territory now. This is not regular Lent anymore. This is Passion Tide. We are approaching very quickly the remembrance of our Lord's Passion. And the church is, as it approaches Holy Week, is entering into a time of deep reflection and deep mourning. And veils and shrouds are also signs of mourning. And so our attention this time of the year is drawn away from the images that surround us, and our attention is focused instead on the story of Christ and those events of that week which forever changed the world. And most of the time, I don't like it when traditions are taken out of their context. And as you well know, I have opinions about many of the changes that were made in the 60s with some of the liturgy. But on this Sunday, this year, I think that the new lectionary actually works in a very weird sort of way. Because it's particularly interesting to me that on this year in our modern lectionary, the gospel reading for this Sunday has a number of Greeks. And in particular, these are Greeks, Gentiles, who are God seekers. It's worth noting that these are people who are not Jewish and yet have decided to come to the temple at the feast of the Passover. They are people who have been in and around Jews, and they've been fascinated by this God that has been preached to them, that they've heard about. They've been fascinated by the traditions of these Jews, and they want to learn more. And so they've heard about this particular Jewish prophet named Jesus, who's been going around preaching, and they want to know more about this. They want to know more about this religion, this God, and in particular, this preacher. And so they go to some of his followers, and they say to them, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And that's the line that stands out to me, at least, from this morning's gospel. And hearing somebody say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," in a church where you can no longer see Jesus, I think is quite an interesting juxtaposition. Here we are talking about people wanting to see Jesus, and we have just covered him up. How does that make sense? It's fascinating to me, and it makes sense to me because of Jesus' response to Philip and Andrew, to their request, and to the request of the Greeks. Rather than stopping what he is doing and running off and playing the good host and doing the show for them and stopping and teaching and talking to them and spending time with these new visitors, what does Jesus say? He says, "The time has come. It's time for my true work to be done. It's time for me to receive the glory that God intends to give me. It's time for me to bring new life into this world. But in order for me to do that, I must die. Just like a seed, I must be put into the ground, buried, before the new life that is within me can spring forth. If people want to see me, if they want to serve me, if they want to become my followers and know who I am, then they must follow me. Follow me on this journey. Pick up your cross and follow me. And when you get to the end of your journey, what you will find is me there hanging on the cross. That is the point that I am drawing you to. That is the point where they will meet me. The place where their suffering becomes my suffering." Jesus' response to hearing to those who would like to see him, who would like to meet him and know who he is to tell them to follow him. This is the journey of Holy Week, on which we are about to embark next week. Walking with Christ, following him until we recognize that our suffering becomes his suffering, until the sins and pains and disappointments in our life are hanging right there on the cross with him, and holding on to that moment until finally, gloriously, miraculously, we realize that just as our suffering has become his suffering, his joy has become our joy. And there is no shorthand for this. You cannot walk into this or any other church and say to someone, "Show me Jesus," and actually expect to see him. If you want to see Jesus, then follow him. Walk with us together as we walk with him to the cross. It's interesting, as a side note, that this time of year, the only images that you are strictly not allowed to veil are the images on the way of the cross that are around you. They are not to be covered up because they, this time of the year, are where you will see Jesus. If you want to see Jesus, walk the way of the cross. From the height of his palm-strewn path in glory to the depth of his sorrow and pain on the cross and in the tomb, walk with him and walk with us. If you want to see him and to understand what Christianity is about, then realize that it is there at the cross that Jesus is drawing all of us together. Jesus is walking the way of the cross next week. If we wish to be his servants, if we wish to see him, then we must walk that way too.